As you plan for next year's revenue targets, ask yourself, does your team have the right blueprint? Stoke RGA helps manufacturers design and launch revenue strategies that work in the real world. No theory, no wasted motion, just growth that compounds. Explore more at StokeRGA.com.
Hey everyone, it's a special back to school episode of New Manufacturing Insights, the official podcast of Insight Publications and the Northeast Wisconsin Manufacturing Alliance. I'm your co-host, Kate Bruns, Manufacturing Editor at Insight.
And I'm Ann France, Executive Director of NUMA. This week's episode, like all episodes of the podcast, is powered by Stoke RGA, the revenue growth accelerator built for manufacturers. Learn more at StokeRGA.com.
So Ann, we have some cool news to share. Mm-hmm. We will once again be doing a podcast recording in front of a live audience to kick off Manufacturing Month this year.
Yay!
Yay! I mean, yay!
The third time, right?
I'm really happy. This third time's a charm, yeah.
Yes. So we hope our listeners can get out to Robinson Inc. on Thursday, October 1st at 8 a.m. for what's becoming something of a tradition, our Manufacturing First pre-event with New Manufacturing Insights.
Yeah, this event is for everyone who has registered in advance for Manufacturing First, and of course, it's not too late to score an invitation if you head between now and September 30th over to manufacturingfirst.com and register for the expo. If you already registered and you want to attend, you should have an email invitation. But if you've lost track of it, like I probably would have, you can contact Insight at 920-882-0491 to register. And we hope to see you there.
Mm-hmm. And there is limited seating, so you register sooner than later,
yes,
okay?
Yes, please.
So, yes, this
year. For the sake of the people at Robinson who are hosting us.
So, this year we'll be doing something of a follow-up episode with Jeff Engelbrecht, who was on New Manufacturing Insights' 87th episode a year or so ago to talk about Robinson's Training Academy, which is a new approach to employee training that models itself in some ways after a police academy, which Jeff is very familiar with as a former police officer. This episode, which will be recorded right in front of a live audience, will be the Robinson Training Academy 2.0, with more details and updates on Robinson's workforce training initiatives.
Yeah, doors will open at 8 with refreshments and networking, and then the actual recording will start at 9 with a panel discussion to follow that'll be for attendees only. So again, make sure you're registered for Manufacturing First. Get your invitation. And last year we were at Schreiber Foods, and in 2024 we were at Werner.
Yes. So. And when we kicked off the first episode, that was at Oshkosh.
Yes. Oh, we should add them to the list of distinguished. Yes. Very
good. So we're really looking forward to more with Jeff on October 1st. Hope to see lots of you there. Our guests today have some exciting news and insights of their own from the world of workforce training and education.
Yeah, we're celebrating back to school today with Jason Johnson, who is the principal of the NEW School of Innovation, and Jennifer Flatt, who is provost and executive vice president at Northeast Wisconsin Technical College, which houses the new school. This Green Bay Public Charter School is opening a new location this year, and we're so excited to have Jason and Jennifer with us in the studio today to tell us more. Jason Johnson and Jennifer Flatt, welcome to New Manufacturing Insights.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So Jason, you have been principal of the NEW school since 2018. Please tell us more about the history of this charter school and the students it serves.
Sure. In the end of the 2013-2014 school year, I was approached by district leadership and was asked the question, what would you do to help students who weren't being successful? And the next year, we spent a lot of time researching different opportunities across the state of Wisconsin and outside of it for programming that would help kids who are not on track to graduate. And through that work, we developed a competency-based program that was solely for 12th graders who had fallen off track. And through that, we developed a very successful program over 3 years where we kept increasing the number of students we were serving up to a point where we had an enrollment of 105 students. Mm-hmm. But as we were going through this and our numbers started to increase, we recognized we weren't helping students at an earlier time frame. So we started developing the idea for a full program with students starting at younger age. And we received a grant from the state in 2018 that allowed us to open our first doors.
So you've been with Green Bay Public Schools for more than a decade. What initially attracted you to the position as principal of the NEW school? And what do you like most about your job?
That's a tough question, but not really. I think that every student's a success story waiting to happen, and I've always wanted to work with students who were struggling a little bit for whatever reason to help them get back on track. And this opportunity came along as the development of this school, and it was a natural fit. And so I was given the opportunity to lead this school and bring along some amazing people to help our students.
Well, you are an amazing educator. I know you. We recognized you at our Excellence in Manufacturing K-12 Partnership Awards as Administrator of the Year, and you just have done amazing work.
Thank you.
So, Jennifer, we'd love it if you could tell us a little more about the history of NWTC support for the NEW school and how it aligns with your college's mission to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So our partnership really began right from that launch point of 2018, and we were working while they were located at a different building in bringing them to campus to have different experiences on site. But all along there was this dream of having them be co-located on the Green Bay NWTC campus, and so that launched in fall of 2022. And really what drove that partnership was going back to Jason talking about students that weren't always on track to graduate. If they're not on track to graduate, they certainly don't see college as a part of their future, and they may not even know what they want to do in terms of workforce. So we knew that interacting with them from an earlier age and in a consistent way and having them on site would change the way they saw themselves. It would change the way that we could work with them in significant and substantial ways and ensure that they find that path to the career and job of their dreams.
Do you have some success stories or favorite wins from this partnership?
I mean, so many, right? Mm-hmm. And Jason can tell a lot of really great stories. Mm-hmm. What I love is that I can see the confidence building with students. One of the very first years that, I think it was actually the first year they were on site, I remember they had an event that NWTC staff and leaders could attend. And I remember sitting with a young woman who was working on some sort of project as a part of this event. And I was just explaining who I was and asking her how things were going. And I said, so what do you think you want to study in college? Or what do you want to do after you graduate from high school? And she's like, oh, I don't think I could go to college. And I said, well, guess what? You're already here. And it was those kinds of moments. And she kind of turned her head a little bit and said, oh, you're right. I am already in college. And just watching that confidence build in student after student, being a part of that has been just amazing for us at NWTC, because so often when students come to us, we haven't seen their growth and development from, you know, all the way from sixth grade up through 12th grade. And then we recently at our open house celebrated the success of one of the recent graduates, Joanette Nazario-Sayez, who had graduated from NEW in just a couple years ago, and then she took 1 year to finish up in the Architectural Technology program at NWTC. She graduated this past May, and at age 19, has a job in industry doing what she loves and has a whole career ahead of her. She was a very articulate speaker too that day. So just so many success stories.
That's so fun to see them go from thinking college isn't for them to graduating. That's really incredible. So Jason, maybe I'll start with you on this one, but exciting stuff. Just a couple weeks ago, you guys had an open house to celebrate your brand new space on the NWTC Green Bay campus. So can you talk about, you know, how did we get here? How did you get to this moment of opening a new larger space?
I think it starts with our partnership with NWTC. I mean, our students are taking specialized classes starting in seventh grade, and it's been all word of mouth. We've now outgrown four spaces, so we continue to increase enrollment from 2018 to what it is now. We believe we'll be full by next year at a complete capacity, and people want to be a part of this. They want to have that success, and so their brothers, their sisters have gone through it. They had something that they didn't think they could have, and now they want their younger siblings to go there. We gave a tour today to a family of four because their other two children already got into school last week, and they came in and they saw this beautiful new space and they interacted with the teachers and like, I want all my children to go here. So I think it's that word of mouth, it's the success they're having in this beautiful space, but also the opportunity it provides that makes them want to be a part of this.
Is it fully optional to all students, or do they have to qualify in some way?
We are an open public school. Anybody can apply to our school in the area. We don't choose our students. If we have a spot in the grade level that you're looking for, you get that spot. If there's too many applications, which we've had almost every year, there's a lottery. So everyone gets a fair chance in there. It's a tuition-free school. It's a public school.
I was just going to say that new space is just wonderful. It creates a carved-out space for the school, and that was thanks to the Green Bay Area Public Schools referendum of 2024.
Yes.
Just double check with Jason, I'll get that year right. Yes. But I feel like it creates a better sense of identity for them. We're still right down the hallway. They still drive up in the bus or with their families every day to NWTC, but it gives them just a little bit more cohesion to their experience.
So tell us about the space. What's new, cool, different in the new space?
I think one, the safety and security of our students has been addressed. Two, the outdoor space that's been dedicated to NEW. So our kids now have ample space to go outside and do some of the exploratory learning. The science labs turned out beautiful. They're my favorite part of the whole building. But it also brought a lot of light to our students. So every classroom has windows. There's natural light in there. But it also goes back to what Jennifer said. Our kids are still on campus. They're walking down the hallways. They're having success. So they start off saying, I haven't been successful in school. And now they're literally just walking across and having success in the room next door that just happens to be run by a college teacher.
Manufacturers have talked for years about the need to reach future talent earlier. So how does the NEW school model help move that from an idea into something tangible? And what can we learn from it about building Northeast Wisconsin's future workforce?
I mean, from the beginning, we've had experiences for the students in grades 7 through 10 that are hands-on in different clusters, different program areas. We know at NWTC and at NEW, the staff and leaders know that students need to try something, and they need to have time to digest that and to develop their interests, because what they think they like in 7th grade might not be what they like in 10th grade. Mm-hmm. So we're not asking them to make a commitment, but we're giving them lots of different experiences. And what's great, I mean, we do that for all of our students across our K-12 district partnerships across the NWTC district, but with NEW, they're right there. So it's much easier. So they have multiple hands-on sessions, 80 different sessions a year, and 160 hours for 7th and 10th graders to explore different career clusters and learn what's in healthcare, what's in the lab sciences, what's in entrepreneurship, what does it really mean to be in biomedical technology, right? These are unknown terms for adults, let alone for someone in 7th grade. So giving them those experiences and then kind of building on it so they can repeat, they can try different ones, and then when they get into the 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, they can start to focus in. They pick that cluster. They start to learn about different career paths. They work with our recruitment and admissions advisors. They work with our career services folks in tandem with Jason's staff. And it's just that connected nature and that continuous flow. That's from our side. I'd love to hear it told from Jason's side, what it looks like from his angle.
So college and career and technical education is what we are. If you talked about us as a school, we're a proficiency-based school, but that's what we focus on. We invest so much time in it purposefully. So the first 3 days of school, every student and their parents sit down with a teacher and they map out their entire year. This is what I'm hoping to do. This is what I'm hoping to explore. And there's a mid-year check-in. And so we're scheduling students into these experiences that Jennifer's talking about, but also reaching out to our community to make sure they get a chance to see it. And at the end of the year, we're wrapping that up to say, here's all of your experiences. What did you like? What didn't you like? What do we need to set up for next year so that you can hit the ground running? For our specialized pathways in 11th and 12th grade, not only are they having these ACP meetings, but they're also meeting with the youth apprenticeship. They're also meeting with NUMA themselves to sit down with the employers and have an opportunity to be recruited by them. They start taking these classes, you know, right away in the welding pathway, and there's many conversations our kids are having about what's it going to take to get to that next step. So we've had as many as 35 students out of a group of 60 that are participating in work-based learning. And as a school, we'll alter their schedule to make sure that works. If you're making academic progress, being a part of the workforce and getting that experience while making that money is a huge step for those kids. It's a very prideful moment for them that I got this job, I was given help, and now here's what I'm doing with it. So our goal is that either they're starting college or their career or entering the military before they're even done with high school. We want them to have that next step taken and on that success pathway. So with NWTC's help in our school, we're wrapping that around. They're not making that transition alone. There's someone checking in on them, because that's a huge transition to the next step. Okay, I'm almost an adult. I feel like an adult, but I still need a little bit of help. So that's what that wraparound service looks like from both entities.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So Jennifer, what role should employers play in helping students understand career opportunities earlier? And what does a strong partnership between industry, K-12, and higher education look like in practice?
I think you just heard it. It looks like what Jason just described, right? And what we're doing with NEW. And that's true, though, across the board. So we are so grateful at NWTC for all of our industry partners and employers that come to our career fairs and our exploration fairs. Without them, we can't tell the story of what those career pathways look like. And that's true for when we have K-12 folks on campus, but also when we have our potential adult students and current adult students on campus. So really, they play that role of coming in whenever that opportunity arises to be at a career fair, to be at an exploration fair. And I think that one of the great parts about this opportunity to talk about the partnership with NEW is that I don't think employers know, of course they don't know, all that we're doing collaboratively, NWTC and K-12. So having them take the time to listen to this podcast, to understand a little bit about what's going on behind the scenes, it just helps them understand that work is going on, their role is important to that work. We are working together, the three entities, the K-12s, NWTC, and the employers, so that we can really help students explore and connect that to a credential and a career. And you know, I think too about like how many times it's a lot of work for somebody to recruit an employee. And if that employee isn't satisfied or doesn't stay, that's a real loss for that company. So one of the other things we want to do is make sure that we're partnering K-12, NWTC, and employers so that students explore that and they're sure of their path before they start, so that when that employer recruits them for a position, they're going to stay. Mm-hmm. They're going to grow with that company. They're confident in that career choice.
How do you ensure, I guess, someone as young as sixth grade isn't pigeonholed into a career that maybe they want to change their mind? Because I have a ninth grader myself, and he changes his mind a lot about that kind of thing. So how do you sort of ensure that sustained career exploration is part of their experience at NEW school?
So for the first 3 years they're involved, it's a rotation. They're going through all the different colleges, the College of Business, the Health College, Advanced Manufacturing. And I always lead every conversation with a prospective student. We're going to explore what you like, but it's really cool when you find something you don't like. That's just as good information as it is you find something you really like. And they're going to get opportunities again and again to try different things. We're not going to pigeonhole them. It's not until 10th grade that we're asking them to make an initial commitment to say, this is the pathway I really want to deep dive. So starting with College 101 to make sure that they're ready for that college level work. And then they're picking out of those 15 different education buckets that TC offers, they're starting to explore. And the benefit of being a part of Green Bay Public Schools is they have 18 credits to do that exploration. So maybe it's someone who doesn't know what they want, so they can kind of pick and choose and truly explore with that 18 credits. I want to try this, I want to try that. Or we have students who are like, I want to be a welder. Mm-hmm. And so they're in our cohorted welding pathway. So they're taking three classes, and then that last section, they're taking two classes to earn that certificate right when they're done with us. Mm-hmm. So it's just about finding their right fit. And it's okay to change. And that happens all the time. They're teenagers. They should be changing their mind.
Adults change too. And that's
50-year-olds
okay,
too.
Right? And that's partially too why then we have created stackable credentials. So, and with sometimes exploring classes within those. So for instance, in the IT cluster, want to go into cybersecurity, rather than having them start in a cybersecurity class, let's start in a class that just introduces more about the cluster and mm-hmm. gives them an opportunity to try out different skills and see where they might go. So stackable credentials help students have one more opportunity to say, whoa, wait, I think I chose the wrong path mm-hmm. here.
Well, it's like they've been at a career fair on steroids by going to school. And your 10th graders are going to know a lot more than the average 10th grader about career opportunity.
There's also a great thing that some of the TC instructors are so good at. They're recruiting students. They're telling them, you are doing such a great job at this. I see a future in this. And they invite our 9th and 10th graders to be a part of those classes right away. So they're reaching out. They see talent. They see opportunity. And they're like, I would like you to be a part of this. And that really boosts our kids' self-esteem and confidence up. So there are a number of kids who got into welding pathways, some of our young ladies, because someone recognized they had a talent and interest and really encouraged them to do so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And again, a lot of these students weren't imagining college as a part of their future or even sure, you know, what kind of career could I possibly have because they lack confidence. So sometimes all it takes is that tap on the shoulder and that little word of confidence. Mm-hmm.
So Jason, in what ways does the NEW school partner with the regional manufacturing industry? I know a few personally, mm-hmm. but how do you see the NEW school model helping address some of the historic gaps between education and industry in Northeast Wisconsin?
I think it's innovation meets opportunity. And NUMA's provided some opportunity for our students, whether it's identifying younger people to start work while they're still pursuing their high school degree, or giving them an opportunity to meet with multiple businesses to interview and practice interview, set up their resume, and then just that conversation, that direct contact with our students. I always say, and I say this to anyone that works with our kids will not blow off people they know. So if there's a relationship that's been formed, they know who these people are before it gets to that point where they're out on their own, they're going to show up and they're going to be more likely to be successful. But when they're going to meet that stranger, sometimes that's really scary and they don't have someone who's been through that to guide them. So forming those relationships with NUMA and other agencies has been really helpful. Mm-hmm. And some of those business partners, you know, they reach out, like, I would like to be a part of this. I would like to come back and do this with mm-hmm. the kids again. And I think that has a big, profound impact, especially where the teachers talk like, we know this business. They've hired three of our mm-hmm. kids. We walked them right there after graduation. You're going to and want to listen when they talk, and it changes the feeling in the room too.
Mm-hmm. So are there any new or different opportunities for employers to partner with the school that have been facilitated by the new space?
I think there's additional space to have those conversations. I think it also provided greater access to our 11th and 12th grade pathway to some of the things that TC has to offer, and also the Tanuma to offer them as well. So mm-hmm. bringing them into our space to talk to our kids, where they know we're going to have this space and we're going to have these things set up. They've gone through the resume building. They've gone through the mock interviews. They're ready to have these conversations at a deep level. You know, second semester of the year, they've already taken two or three classes, and it might be in something that they have enough skill to get that entry level job. So I think it's providing them an opportunity. They may not be the candidate that has all the skills you're looking for. But these kids have worked really hard. They've demonstrated they're handling a high school load, a college load, and they've been working on their own. Now they're looking for that family-sustaining job so that they can leave school and be set up for success.
So you talked about when you initially were engaging on this project in 2013, it was kind of trying to meet students who were struggling academically. How has that evolved with the proficiency-based learning, and what sort of students are the best fit for your programs?
First rule, if a student wants to be at NEW, they're going to be successful. That's the only real criteria that they need to be. Mm-hmm. When we go out and talk to families, we're looking for students who just haven't found success yet, mm-hmm. whether that's academic, social, emotional, mental health, all of those students, you know, they need something a little different. And I think we're that innovative pathway because we're so personalized. We look at every individual student. What are your strengths? What are your needs? And because we are a small school and a charter allows us to do that, we're looking at how we set up classes, the types of classes they're taking to bring them and re-engage them in school. For our 11th grade program, we received a second grant 2 years ago to start this program. So we went out and recruited 30 disengaged students from Green Bay Public Schools, kids attending less than 40%, less than 4 credits. We spent an entire year re-engaging them in school, getting them to buy into the process that this is worth your time. And we work on skills, literacy, math skills, and post-secondary skills. Those are the 3 focuses we spend the entire year on. But the whole goal is to get them coming back to school. Then they step into their senior year, where they're doing these things with NWTC and the career coaches, and they're getting set up to graduate. So they're getting through the academic component, and now they're launching right into career mode or college mode, whatever suits them best. So it's really open for everybody. Like mm-hmm. there's not one particular student, but traditionally we're looking for kids who are looking for their place. So mm-hmm. you could be an advanced student who just says, I'm not getting what I need here. Mm-hmm. So with proficiency based, it's not about time. It's about learning. Learning should be the constant, not time. So if mm-hmm. you're someone who's always waiting to go move on because you're ahead of your peers, well, in a proficiency base, you take off. You're doing those things in your real time. And that's how we have 10th and 11th graders who are finishing their academic requirements and doing these work-based learning programs or starting college classes full-time. The young lady that Jennifer was talking about, she didn't have a class her senior year. We just kept her enrolled so that she could have all those supports in place. Mm-hmm. So we have students from all different walks of life and all different skill sets. It's just about putting them in the right spot for that opportunity to take hold.
Mm-hmm. I didn't warn you in advance I wanted to ask this. You might not have it in front of you, but do you have a sense for how many students do end up going on to graduate from NWTC?
I don't have a full number of how many have graduated. I know that more than half of them complete college coursework while in high school, which is significantly higher than what you would expect for a particular school. I can say that we've had a lot of increase in dual enrollment participation, particularly because of the co-location, right?
Sure.
That was an option long before we were co-located, but that presented so many challenges. Another thing that was just wonderful was a couple of years into the co-location, the school district agreed to allow them to operate on our academic calendar.
Oh, that great. That's huge.
Because otherwise, a senior mm-hmm. or a junior who was ready to take classes on our timeline wouldn't mm-hmm. have been able to. So again, this partnership with the school district has just been wonderful because that we've evolved together and found ways to just put students at the heart of it.
Yeah. Our first year co-located, we had 125 credits earned by our senior class, mm-hmm. and I think we had a 3.5 GPA for all students.
So that was
a lot of success. And then once we switched the calendar, that really helped because our kids were missing 3 classes each of the semesters due to the breaks, and everybody tried to catch them up. But when you miss mm-hmm. those classes and it's not just a Green Bay student, then that's really tough on a student to do that on their own.
Well, and you feel singled out then. You're not a part of that class completely, mm-hmm. and so that can affect confidence in very subtle ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know just my personal experience with NEW school has been amazing, and I just can't say enough, any employer listening today, connect with the school, and just great kids and talented kids. and kids who you want to have employed by your company.
Yeah. And our kids are going to stay local. They're not moving off. They want to be here. They're going to be here for themselves and their families. So they're looking for that next step.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we let you leave, we always ask, what is your best leadership insight?
So I am a big fan of Brené Brown, and I do mm-hmm. like her reminder to not lead from fear. And I think Jason's actually a great example of that, because I think, and now he's bristling at that, but it's true. Because I think when you're not afraid, you try new things. You mm-hmm. propose bold new initiatives like the NEW School of Innovation. You push and you push and you push, as Jason does, for mm-hmm. what the students need.
No, it's just a temporary answer.
And then they get what they need. And he is also a great example of being brave, and I believe in asking lots of questions and showing your own ignorance, right? Mm-hmm. And that's something that, that I try to model, but I see in Jason all the time. And I also appreciate his willingness to be brave and share his vulnerability. He is passionate about the work that he does, and he does not hesitate to show how profoundly impactful it is to him as a human being. And I'm just really grateful for his modeling of not leading from fear.
Thanks. For me, I think it's listen to understand. I work with people and I work with students all day, and I really need to understand where they're coming from, because there's a lot of perspectives that are being put out there, and they're all their truth. So I need to understand before I make decisions, and I want to bring people along on those decisions. So I really listen to understand before I make a decision or bring somebody else a part of that.
Thank you. Jason and Jennifer, congratulations on the opening of the new School of Innovation. It was a pleasure having you on the show today, and thank you so much for being a guest on New Manufacturing Insights.
Thank you.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode. As always, we would like to thank Woodward Community Media for production support and Stoke RGA for sponsoring every single episode this year. Anne and I will be back to talk to you again next Thursday on another all-new episode of New Manufacturing Insights. Bye.